Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman.
Today we have a Cleveland transplant and now Cleveland transplant into LA transplant.
Yeah, one of Jess's collection that she's trying to turn out there.
The first of my collection.
She wants to make a little Cleveland out there so bad.
I am. I'm making little Cleveland. My first addition to little Cleveland, Mr. Vishnu Akella. How are you?
Good.
I said your name.
Yeah, you got it right.
I'm high and I keep panicking. I did this with Kelly. Her name's Kelly Thulis. And I was like, did I say your name right? And she's like, it's Kelly Thulis. It's not
okay,
that
the last,
hard.
The last name can be a little tricky. The Thulis.
Yeah. I'm super paranoid. Like, I don't understand why. I need to calm down. So we didn't even talk about this prior to the show. What is your default setting?
So the way you phrase it was really interesting.
Yeah.
You're like, people change over time,
mm-hmm.
but there's still things that stick with you 20 to 50 years later.
Exactly.
And I was like, well, 20 years ago, I was two. So
I've
changed quite, so I was like, I remember that phrase, I don't know if you guys like, if you're the same person you were 5 years ago, like you're doing something wrong. That's
oh shit, yeah.
So I thought like, all right, 5 years ago, 17, high school, I was like, oh shit, like I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the one thing that I would say, like, I have in common with, like, 17-year-old me is just, like, this, just, like, okay with being uncomfortable. Like,
uncomfortable, but, like, content with it, it sounds like.
Right, yeah.
Or sadistic, I don't know.
I say you like the pain, you like the discomfort. Yeah, exactly. So I love that. I love the places we can sort of go with that.
Yeah.
I mean, situations that are uncomfortable with not just yourself, but, like, watching other uncomfortable situations?
Oh, no, it's just more, like, just, like, not being content with where I am at the present moment. Like,
yeah.
Where I am now is not where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Just having that sort of thing. So, I think at 17 I had that.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not, like, where I was when I was 17.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I still have the sort of that, like...
That's a really, oh my god, that's a really great
kind of like, like you're not satisfied with where you are, like, not content.
I love that so much because, the thing that I think I've grown to resent the most in people is when I identify that they're in a comfort zone
exactly,
they don't want to get out of,
like they just settled,
and that's what I love about what you're saying is that, like, you love being out of your comfort
zone.
That's exactly what it boils down to,
for sure.
Which is awesome.
I think that was a big reason of, like, coming out here,
mm-hmm.
was just like getting. I'm not going to say too comfortable, but getting somewhat comfortable in Cleveland and just being, like, recognizing that. And then, you know, I graduated in May, so I had this opportunity just to, like, I could either stay in Cleveland or I can leave.
Yeah.
And just start new.
Yeah.
Right, because once you settle roots and, like, once you graduate, that's sort of the time where you can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, I was like, okay, if I settle here, like, that's being comfortable. So, I think that's what... That and, like, I'm a little competitive, too. So, like, just more competition.
Yeah. I love that so much, and especially when you're super young, because you're saying you first noticed this trait about yourself when you were 17.
Yeah.
It gives you so much more time, too. Like,
for sure.
I don't think I got to a place, personally, where I was ready to be like, no, I actually want to be out of my comfort zone until, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, what was it when you were 17 that you remember specifically? You were like, I don't want to be here. I'd rather be here.
I think, I mean, you have, like, sort of that high school hometown mentality. Like, I got to get out of my hometown. This hometown's holding me back.
Where are you from?
Auburn Hills, Michigan. It's like
That's
a
right.
suburb of Detroit.
Okay.
But also just, like, I think that was a big thing. It's, like, not wanting to get stuck. Just seeing a lot of people still around. Just knowing that that's not a bad thing, but that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like, you could kind of see the people, like, go full circle, like, generations, like, then they leave high school, and then they're gonna move over here, and then they're gonna live there.
Like, when I hear, like, okay, my parents went to this high school, and then my parents' parents went to the high school, and my parents' parents, I'm like, I don't want that.
That's a great point, and I think that it's, again, when you're that young, not everybody sees that shit when you're that young. Yeah, I don't think, personally. Like, I always think, like, you know, you don't realize very often that, like, you're stuck until you're already too far stuck.
You could also be uncomfortable in your hometown. Like, you don't have, like, it's not like everybody has to get out their hometown, but it's still, like, there's enough mobility.
Yeah.
I think, like, for what I wanted to do, there wasn't enough mobility there, so I had to get out, but I still think just, like, you don't have to get out to be able to.
Yeah, no, and you're right. It's a personal sort of experience thing. Yeah. What was it that you wanted to do?
When I was 17, like, I was convinced that, like, the rest of my life would be, like, playing basketball.
Okay.
It'd be something to do with that. And, like, I spent my whole childhood doing it, all of high school. And, but eventually, like, when I was set to go somewhere to play basketball for college, I just, again, like, that feeling of, like, if I go there, like, there's not going to be any upward mobility. Mm-hmm. I will be stuck there for 4 years, and then after that, it's over.
Yeah.
So that's when I started making that transition and went to Cleveland and went to Case Western and ended up doing that,
Very cool. Yeah. And what was it specifically at Case Western that you wanted to study, ended up studying?
I didn't really know. Like, I was taking a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was pre-med for a little bit and political science. Like, I just studied a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm using none of it now.
But, none of us are doing any of the things.
But it makes it even better that you were studying different things then. You got, like, an eclectic education. So it can apply so many things.
It's funny because Kelly Tholis was just on, and she was talking about how, like, growing up, she'd watch films. Mm-hmm. And the career of the protagonist was always what she wanted to do. So, like, she was like, I want to be a 30s archaeologist time with Brendan Fraser and find mummies. And she's like, and then she's like, 6 weeks later, I'd be like, oh, now I want to be a wedding planner and Matthew McConaughey is going to be there. And then the thing she ultimately ended up realizing from all these little bits and pieces is not she wanted to do those things. She wanted to be involved in film that, like, made those things come together. Yeah. So I don't know if you found any sort of, like, common through line through the things you've been interested in studying or anything like that.
I don't know about studying, but just, like, things I've pursued in the past. Like, I like being responsible for my own. Like, I don't want other people to determine it. So
self-managed.
Yeah,
sort of
just, like, more entrepreneurial in that sense.
Okay,
and, like,
yeah.
Creative and, like, I personally, like, I have a very addictive personality where, like, once I start doing something, like, I don't have hobbies.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what a hobby is because, like, if I'm doing something, like,
that's your
I want to be the best at
that. Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
So when I hear people talk about hobbies, like, it just blows my mind because, like, they'll say, like, you know, like, I go surfing. I'm like, so are you, like, a competitive surf? Like, that's where I jumped to at first. It's like, oh, no, you can actually do things for fun. But it's like, I also get sucked into something. I'll just go at it.
It's so funny you say this, and it's like a million things are going through my head. The first is you have to meet my friend Rory Valdez, who was a guest on the show, and I accidentally deleted his episode because I'm a douchebag. He's in our improv and writing group, so I feel
cool.
We should definitely all connect because was literally what he talked about on our episode. Is that his default was really competitive, and so what he was talking about was the idea of, like, anything he has ever begun.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be the best at, like, as soon as, like, he learned chess, and then he was playing basketball, he was playing basketball, and, like, he had to be the fucking best, so it's such an interesting...
And then once he was the best, he's like, okay, now I'm the best, I gotta do something
Gotta move on to something else and be the best that, too, and it sounds exactly kind of, like, what you're saying your experience was.
Yeah, that's why, like, I think Netflix, because you can't be the best at Netflix, so, like, that's why I don't mind, like, just sitting down and doing that, like, that's something I'll enjoy on the side, like...
The one sort of hobby, where your brain's not going...
Yeah, have you watched everything on Netflix?
That was what I was going to say. Like, the only way you can win Netflix is by watching all
every
of Netflix.
Thing, binging everything.
It doesn't sound fun at all.
Which I don't think is humanly possible at this point.
No.
Like, I don't think...
I'm sure Netflix will just cut you off. They already cut you off. If you're just watching Netflix, just tell you to
stop. Like, this is not what you paid for. We just assumed you'd binge watch The Office in the background while you're having sex for, like, you know, like, there's nothing. So... When you decided, like, because obviously it sounds like, you know, you had maybe not even necessarily interests, but compulsions for, like, these various things, these various activities.
Uh-huh.
when was it you more... So this is an interesting question. Did you settle on comedy, or is this just one of those things that you're trying to master in, like, the grand scheme of things?
This is the first thing that I've done where the focus hasn't wavered.
Okay.
Like, when I do other things, like, I also jump around a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like I said, like, I'll get addicted to the
Mix
one thing.
Mix it up.
But nothing in the past, like, 2.5, 3 has, like, pulled me away. So that's how I know, like, okay, I think this is, like, the thing.
Yeah.
Because I think when I was doing other stuff where my heart wasn't all the way in it, but I was still doing it, I would see other things and I would sort of get drawn to that.
Get, like, distracted and you're like, ooh, but over there.
Yeah, but this is the first thing where it's just been, like, I think this is it, and I kept going.
Yeah.
It's been that way. So until it's not that way, I'll be doing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Was it when you moved to Cleveland that you really got into comedy? Or was it before you moved?
I was in my second year at Case Western.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, end of the second year.
What made you want to try it?
I'd always been a comedy fan. Like, somebody that enjoyed watching comedy. Me and my dad would watch stand-up. He was one of those, like... He was, like, a closet stand-up fan.
Okay.
Like, he would, like, there were, like, these little jabs where it's, like, you know, this isn't a career, right? When I was a kid and I'd be really interested.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're, like, just having fun with it. But, I mean, he won't let on, but I know, like, late at night, like, he loved watching SNL.
Okay.
And he'd always, like, recommend stand-up. He still sends me, like, those stand-up clips every once in a while.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I think that's where that initial push came from. So I was, like, you know what, like, again, like, let's just get up on stage and try it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. My first mic was actually it doesn't get more uncomfortable than this, Canal Fulton, Ohio.
Oh, wow!
And it's just, it was like a...
For that first mic.
Yeah, I didn't understand, like, the whole process. Like, I didn't know what, like, how to do stand-up. Like, you have to go to mics and all this. I knew I had to find a mic. I didn't know where to find a mic on, like, the Cleveland comedy. Like, so I went on, like, this weird calendar. It had, like, a mixed mic in Canal Fulton.
Is it like a mix, like there's music and
poetry and comedy?
Gotcha. Okay.
So I drove, I think it's like an hour and a half outside of Cleveland.
It's out there.
I was like, oh, wait, like this is just like, this is as rural as Cleveland gets. And then it was like an outdoor mic, and I went to sign up, and they're like, oh, we've never had a comedian before.
And that's what I was going to say, for mixed mics, I feel like they're always like, yeah, it's a mixed mic, but we're like, we don't mean you.
Exactly. So then I was like, well, I drove an hour and a half here. Like, I'm not going to leave. So
yeah.
I performed for my first 5 minutes in front of a group of white people that I don't think I've ever seen anybody other than white people in person. It was
You're
like,
taking pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like me in Japan. Like,
yeah.
Like, the crowd was like 70% white people. And 30% white people that own tractors. Like, that was the whole vibe of
the place. That's amazing.
That's what we were just talking about. I'm like, I always forget how, like, weird and rural Ohio is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it's just like, I was just born and raised in Cleveland. So I'm like, all of Ohio's like this, right? And then I'm just like, no.
No.
We were just talking about that. Yeah, you were like, Ohio's so weird when you get out of Cleveland. And I was like, babe, that's just, yeah. No, I was literally born, like, in.
There's
I only saw cornfields and shit when we went on road trips. So, like, oh, that's far.
Cleveland, there's Cincinnati, Columbus.
Correct.
And that's pretty much.
Those are the cities,
right?
Akron, a little.
They're kind of like, Akron's kind of like Cleveland's, like, tumor, though.
I thought that was Canton. Canton's pretty bad.
Ugh, dumb. They're not included.
I love that we're alienating all of our Ohio listeners right
now.
I got out. I'm good.
The first time I went to Canton, I'm like, this place is weird. There's no buildings over, like, two stories.
I know. That was what freaked me out about it, too. It was super terrifying. So, that sounds amazing, actually. Yeah. That's a really good... I love everybody's first show stories. They're always compelling, even when they're not, but that's a really good one.
What were
one.
Your first?
So, mine was Dave Schwenson. I don't know if you remember
The workshop thing. Correct. Yeah.
So, my thing was, I had gotten a divorce, and I was like, I'm going to be sassy and fun, and I'm going to join, like, a comedy writing, workshop. Well, they don't have those in Ohio, or they at least don't have them in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, the only other comedy-related thing I could find in Cleveland was Dave Schwenson's workshop, and then that was literally just, like, a slippery slope
into
meeting people who knew where to tell you to find mics and, all that shit.
Exactly.
And yours was at my show, right?
That was actually the second one. The first one
I thought I was your first! Sorry.
We were the first...
You played her.
one that didn't suck real hard. It was the second one. The first one I did was at crap. What's the one Greg Kennedy hosted at?
The Irish Bar?
Yeah, it was at O'Toole's.
That's right.
Okay. Like, in that side room. And, like, I was, like, one of the last people to go on. So, like, basically everyone went. And the band next door was playing so loud.
Yes.
I could hear myself. And I'm like, okay. So I just basically, just word vomited some stuff and then panic left. And then I went from that to, I did 8 minutes on Jess's show.
Yeah. Oh, Jess.
I don't know.
The one at
Avenue Tap House.
Oh, Avenue Tap. Okay,
yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah. Avenue Tap House. So we had Avenue Tap House, and then we did the Motorcycle Garage.
Yeah. Skidmark.
Yeah, exactly. And then that died. And then Spider texted me the other day. He's like, I think we're going to bring back Couch Gags. And I was like, I mean, you are. I don't know. I can't help you with anything else beyond that.
I did Avenue. That was one of the first, like, showcases I did.
Yeah.
Like,
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure we had you on at least once.
And there was a night where, like, this weird, like, party bus came in.
No, that was the one I missed, and I'm so pissed about.
There were people like old people in insane costumes, and I was like, "Is this what comedy is?"
Oh my god!
I'm so mad. That was like I've been going like every week, and I didn't go to that one.
I forgot all about that, but I'm so glad you were there and you remember it because it was somebody's first night that night, and I can't remember who the hell it was supposed to be, but it was somebody I'd like been bugging for the longest time, like, you gotta try it, you gotta stand my room's super friendly, it's totally fine. And it wasn't Amber, but it was like somebody, like Amber was there, I remember for sure. And all of a sudden this party bus full of people, they're all, it's like, it's this time of year, it was like mid-December, and these people all came in with like they were wearing like Halloween costumes, legit Halloween costumes. Yeah. And some of them were covered in Christmas lights and they were blinking and they were singing. And I was like, oh no.
I just remember it wasn't Halloween though.
Yes.
Like that's what made it weird. Like,
it was so weird. Yeah. And I was like,
So they do weird shit. Like any excuse to wear a costume. Like today was today at like the Christmas Story house. They were doing a run. And so it's just like, when I was at Tremont, the Tremont Tap House, it was just, you know, like, people coming in dressed in like Christmas Story costumes.
Bunny onesie and all that.
We left right before like the bar crawl arrived because it was like a run and bar crawl or something. And they're like, oh, the bar crawl should be here in about 40 minutes. And I'm like, that is a good time to get the check.
Hey, look at the time. It's time to check out of this shit. But no, you were saying like you had your first mic. So what made you want to go back and do a second mic after that nonsense?
The weird rush I got of just like that dopamine kick of like.
Did anybody laugh? Did the
I got some laughs.
Six white people. Okay, good.
I think it was more white guilt than humor, but like.
Hey, it kept you going.
Yeah.
If you got white guilt out of people in Canal Fulton, I'm gonna call that a win. Yeah. Like, I really like they resent having any sort of white guilt, that whole sort. So it sounds like rush. I get that. Totally.
Yeah, so I think that's what keeps me is just like that need to go back and get that.
We've talked about this on the show a lot. Like, I've never tried any, like, I'm smoking a marijuana vape pen right now, and this is the hardest drug I've ever hit in my life. And I can't imagine that heroin feels any better than getting a laugh. Like, getting a whole room full of people to laugh. Ooh. Like, I just there's can't no fathom way. It.
Like,
yeah, and you don't even have to, like, stick a needle in your arm or
laughs. Like, if you could sell that, that would be like the best selling drug, right?
Yeah.
Like, the best antidepressant ever.
Yeah, for
whatever makes
like making other people laugh, it's just like, oh, because even when, because sometimes I feel like, you know, you get depressed and you go up and you do a set and you like, you're at the point where you don't give a fuck about anything, but you do a set and then you're like, everyone laughs and you're just like, all right.
And that's why I used to
care a little.
I used to call it my kid because it was just like, as fucking terrible as it makes me feel, as much as it causes me to drink, as much as it causes me to cry, when they tell you they love you, it's all worth it. You know what I mean? Like, you just, they have that
sounds like an abusive relationship.
When they laugh, then they laugh at you and it's just like, everything in the world is okay. It's all forgiven. It's all this bullshit.
Right? It's like, if you get like a hot streak, that's the best. You have like, three or four just like really, really good shows in a row and you're like, oh my god, I am on fire. And then you go to your next one and it sucks.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to say. My stupid ass is, like, always thinking ahead. Like, it's always too worried about, like... So when I have a streak, I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, here it comes. Like, it's just, I'm going to eat shit. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to eat shit so hard at this next one because I just can't ride
always
the...
It's always... That's the crazy thing. It's, like, it's always there. Like, at any time, it could just all go... And, like, we've seen it where, like, somebody's doing good, good, good. And you're like, okay, they're going to finish this. And then, just, boom.
Boom.
And, like, it's just, it's inevitable. Like, it's going to happen. There's going to be a show you go to where it's either, like, all comedians who don't care, or it's just people who did not want to hear that, or, you know, people aren't paying attention, and you're like, well, fuck me then, I guess.
100 different reasons why it can all, and it's all chemistry. That's the thing, like, you never realize how much of it is literal, like,
oh, for sure.
Chemistry in the regard of, like, what time of night it is, what night of the week it is, the exact way that you said a certain word the exact time, what everybody had to eat that day. Like, it's just so many different things.
I feel like my thing is like, before I go up, it's either, like, I'm feeling it or I'm not. So I feel like it's either, like, I'm going to be really into it because I was feeling it, or I'm not feeling it. Now I have to pretend. And now I'm even more anxious.
Like, that exact thing with auditions and acting. Like, I just had that today. I went to audition and I was sleepy. And I was like, you know what? If I stay sleepy, I'm just gonna, like, my brain can't physically care. Right. Like, it just literally doesn't have the energy to care. So I went in and I was just still sleepy.
Yeah.
And then I brought up the energy long enough to do the scene. And then I walked out and I was like, that felt like it went well because I wasn't like, like, shaking and, like, holding my papers and just, like,
just calm, like, you weren't panicking.
Jess, you don't have to be scared. It's just an audition. And if you don't get it, it's not a big deal. But if I'm still stuck in the, I'm really fucking nervous, it doesn't matter how much I tell myself it's going to be fine. I'm going to be fucking nervous. Yeah. So
that's what James always tells me before I go up. He's like, just calm down. I'm like, why are you freaking out? Easy for you.
God, I never thought. Just calm down. Wow.
Oh, why don't, okay, I'll just stop. Stop, and then maybe I will, because, you know, I just go up there and I sweat for fun.
Like, just flop sweating everywhere. It's all fine. Jesus. I mean,
it's the worst when your glasses start to fog up and you're like,
oh my God, really? Have you had that happen?
I've never had glasses fog. I've never sweated on stage, but maybe I'm not moving around enough. Maybe I gotta.
I don't either. I just get that nervous, and then I'm just like, I'm just like, okay, so I'm gonna go up there. It's like, and I'm going to profusely sweat, and then I'm going to get off, and then I'm going to, like, be cold.
It kind of seems like a comedy prop, like a spinning bow tie, like the fogging up glasses, like, woo, wow, is it getting hot in there?
Too much, but I think I just get scared that it's going to happen. Like, I'm going to be like, oh, then it's, like, even more obvious.
Ishan will fall out of the sky and land on my head. So you've been doing comedy, you said, about 2.5-ish, 3-ish years now?
Yeah.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And
All in Cleveland.
Yeah. And then you came here, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
So, like, you really, I mean, and I'm in the exact same boat, sort of, you are. You really were just like, no, I'm not going to fuck around, like, spending more time here. Like, I want to go, just go for it, right? Like, I just want to go to the heart of where it's all happening. And
yeah,
because,
like, Cleveland is a really good place to develop, like, an amazing place to develop.
Yes, I've said that, yes.
Like, there's tons of really funny people, lots of opportunity, but it was more just like, there's more competition out here, which is what I needed as far as, like, just sheer
drive.
Numbers. Yeah. And just like, and there's a lot of people here who don't do it as a, like, they're all in.
Yeah.
And just being around that sort of makes you, like, I felt that instantly at, like, going to mics and stuff, just that instant, like, okay, now you're here, you're around the best of the best of the best.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I love, again, that whole sort of speaking to getting out of your comfort zone thing. I think so many people would be like, no, there's going to be so many more people that are so much better that it's going to be discouraging, of thing, that sort of fear of the unknown. My thing was at least getting that preview that I had going to Flappers when we were just visiting before we moved out, and being able to see, like, out of 30 people that went up that night, 10 were good, 5 were really good. Everybody else was conceivably worse than I have seen in Cleveland, even.
Sure,
and I was
like,
whoa, you mean to tell me not everybody here is amazing?
That's
encouraging. You know
I wish a lot of people in Cleveland, like, that haven't, like, I had the chance, and I made sure while I was in Cleveland to go out to other states and do stuff.
It's a good idea.
And I wish that more, because they'll notice, like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, I can get out. Like, it's not.
It's not, yeah.
But like you said, there's that top five that are just on a different level. And, like, usually I find myself in that middle 10, or if I just eat shit, I'll be at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I'll see those top five, like, all right, I need to get
there. To get to that level.
And that happens here a lot.
Yeah.
Which keeps me going.
Motivated. I love that.
There's still a lot of, there's tons of people in Cleveland that are way better. But out here, like, it happens regularly. Like, at every mic, essentially. Like, there's two or three people that are just, like,
killing next it. Level. Yeah.
Oh, shit, I gotta get back and get
that's a great now. Point, too, is you're setting sort of a, you're really just setting a bar for yourself. Yeah. Because, you know, when you get to a certain, you know, you get up in sort of the ranks of a really good scene like Cleveland, but there's a smaller,
I guess,
demographic.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really have anything else to aspire to, right? Which,
like,
is...
I started out open mics in Cleveland. It got to the point where, like, I could get on a show.
Yeah.
Like, people would ask me, like, hey, you want... Which was cool, and, like, I wish I had that out here because I'm at the bottom, essentially, again.
Mm.
But, again, there's, like... Here, you can just keep climbing, and, like, you can get to the top, and Dave Chappelle will be there. Like,
exactly! Like,
there's, like...
Opportunity.
Exactly, yeah. Like, you're never going to find somebody... Like, there's always people better than you here.
Oh, yeah. But, like, the opportunity to, like... As you said, run into Dave Chappelle is that much higher. Right, you know what I mean?
Your exposure. Yeah, you get a lot more exposure. Yeah,
exposure for sure, to your, you know, even when you're still in the middle, somebody could see that potential. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
which will send you down that path.
Right.
One of the big things I also love about out here is that we were just talking about this. I think you were just talking about it, how, like, Dad was, like, talking about, like, that's not a real job sort of thing. Out here, at least amongst peers and even, like, older people... No, everyone knows you're here to do the thing. Like, most people are here to be in entertainment or to be in the industry. And so no one's going to be like, you're not really thinking of doing it. Like, everyone's just like, of course you fucking are. Why else would you be here? Yeah. Like,
no, I'm glad because I still have, like, I have some family out here who keep me at that, like, you can't do this.
Okay.
Which is good for me.
Like, good.
Yeah. That,
keep it grounded.
Yeah. Like, Thanksgiving, it's just like people, like, looking at you like, yo, what the fuck
really?
Are you thinking?
Really? And I can see, I talk about it on here too. I can hear it in my mom's voice whenever I, like, I tell her I, like, booked something.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, I have, like, people say, like, how's your hobby going? I'm like, great.
Do they ask you, I think the running joke in our scene is, do they ask you how your little skits are going? Like, how are your little skits?
Little skits.
And I love, like, how, like, literally stand-up, improv, and sketch are all, like, synonymous. Yeah. There's no difference between the two. Like, if you're in an improv group and they're like, oh, how are your sketches going, honey? And it's like, that's not what, no, mom, that's
not. A lot of people don't, like, we understand the nuance of, like, mics and shows and showcase, like, all this stuff. I think a lot of people, comedy is either, like, to them it's just, like, Netflix specials, right?
Yeah.
Like, comedy is performing in front of a live...
Doesn't everybody get a Netflix special?
Yeah,
everybody gets
one.
You got one, I got one.
Yeah.
If you're in Cleveland, it's like, you're on Hilarities or you're not. Like,
right, exactly, yeah. So.
Have you met Ramon Rivas out here?
No, but I met him in Cleveland when he came back.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like he'd be a really good person, too, to, like...
He moved back to Cleveland, but I think he said that he was going out to LA soon.
Yeah, he'll he'll. I think he's here now through the 18th, and then he'll be back in Cleveland.
Gotcha, yeah.
So, it's really weird because one of the girls that I met through my acting school lived in Venice, and I went over to her place one night, and we were hanging out, and one of her neighbors comes wandering in. And she's like, oh, where are you from? Cleveland. Oh, you know, what do you do? Well, I came out here to do stand-up. And she's like, oh, I know a stand-up comic from Cleveland. And I was like... Who? And she was like, Ramon Rivas. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what are the odds? Like, I just got here and, like, someone knew who that was. And then what's even crazier is she texts him. And the next morning he's like, oh, hey, you met my friend Diva. And I was like, what's going on right now? Like, I feel
small
like this
world,
is so weird. There's literally 8 million people here. I don't know how the hell stuff like that happens, but it's pretty fucking cool. So you've been here 2 months? Did we talk about this?
Yeah,
two months. What are you feeling, like, have you felt any culture shock at all since you got here?
No, because, like, I don't know if I'm here for the culture. Like, a lot of people are like, hey, are you enjoying the beach? Like, I haven't been to the beach
once. Gotcha.
Like, hey, are you enjoying, like...
Yeah.
That's not what I came for, so For me, it's been a lot of walking. I don't have a car, and I totally thought, like, all right, public transit, like, I could skate through. Like, I didn't understand how big the city was, where everything was.
And the limitedness of the,
So, that's my experience of LA is walking.
But you get to experience more, because you're not just zipping past it. Like, you get...
I love seeing homeless guys' dicks every time. It's fucking fantastic. That's what I love. The amount of homeless penis I've seen on the bus is insane. Like it's just the other day I did a bit on this, but like I was just like it didn't work, but I think a guy pulled his dick out, right?
On the bus,
and usually it's fine, but
usually it's like, yeah, it's LA and we're on a bus.
There were kids on the bus going to school, so they stopped the bus and got them off.
Yeah.
I get to work and they're like, why are you late? And I didn't know how to explain to them.
I feel like, though, that's one of those LA things where you just be like, oh, no, a dude pulled his dick out on the bus. And be like, of course, bus. Because have you noticed, I don't know if you've experienced it yet, because I don't think we've had a hard enough rain, which I'm glad for you if you're walking that it hasn't rained hard as...
You told me to watch out for this, and I was thinking about it the other day, because it's totally, everything smells like piss. Like,
yes! When it rains, everything smells like pee.
Rehydrates all the piss.
All the 9 months of dried piss that are on the sidewalks and in the street. Something they will never tell you about LA, kids.
That's okay. New York smells like piss when it's
I mean, San Francisco smelled full on like feces, and I thought I was imagining it. Yeah. And I, a week later, got an email from someone with a link from like Newsweek, and they had what was a brown map. And it was basically showing the areas of the city. What? And, like, the more brown that area of the city was like, a more higher fecal concentration.
What?
Because there's...
It's, like, where people, you know, the homeless people or whoever just, like, poops outside. And then you have the app and you can, like, mark it, like, saw shit.
Yeah, I think it goes San Francisco and then LA as far as homelessness problems. Because San Francisco is still so much more expensive than even LA.
Yeah.
And so many people who are homeless are people... What scares the hell out of me about living in California, but specifically San Francisco, is that, like, people who are living on the street were, like... And a lot of them were, like, working in Silicon Valley, but, like, 5 years ago, and just, like, they didn't know how to manage their money.
Yeah.
But, like, it sounds like you were really still, like, hustling a lot since you got here on, like, the whole...
I've seen a homeless man on the bus just telling jokes.
Really?
Yeah, like, he was sitting in front of the bus, and, like, he's sitting in the front seat, and he was, like, riffing off everybody. He was just doing a set. And I was like, at least I'll have that. Like, if everything goes to shit, I'll just be the homeless guy on the bus. I guess that's my fear now, is just, like, I don't want to become that. Like,
I'm really worried. Now I'm having, like, my weed-induced paranoia, because, like, he was messaging me about coming out here. I'm like, no, you should. You should come out here. And then, like, now he's here, and now you got kicked out of your apartment.
Oh, no.
And you have homeless dicks everywhere. Yeah. And I'm like, I should have never told you.
No.
I feel so bad.
I'm sure I would have saw the same thing in any other place.
On the RTA. On the Rapid.
Yeah, it's been good overall. Like,
that's good.
I enjoy
I love that you have that ability, too, to see this shit and then be like, oh, no, this is material. Like, I'm so bad at that. I'm so bad at seeing material, and, like, I have to think about... I'm much more retrospective. I'm crazy shit happened to me? You know what I mean? I'm not good. And I feel like this is just a gold mine for, like, that kind of shit.
I could do an hour on the bus.
Yeah.
Just things I've seen on the bus.
The bus.
It wouldn't be good, but I could churn out enough of that.
Are you finding, is there anything else, either before you came here or right after you got here, that sort of distracts your time with, like, you were talking about earlier, like, things that you just get really, like, focused on? And, like, is there, besides comedy?
Nah. It's just because, like, there's so much to do here. Like, there's just so many mics. Like, you can do it all night. And
Have you gone, Vishnu and then Liz Blanc and I all went to a show about 6 weeks ago. We went to the Laugh Factory, is that right?
The Store, yeah.
The Store, that's right.
That was my first time going there, yeah.
Yeah, me too. And so we all went to Comedy Store, and we saw Anthony Jeselnik, and we saw Whitney Cummings, and we saw...
Nice.
Who the hell else did we see? Brendan Walsh?
Shaw, yeah.
And then
David Spade walked by. That was cool.
Oh, I knew it! I missed him! Who saw David
David Spade God walked damn out. It. I think he was doing a set in another room. He walked
out. Oh, fuck me. Yeah, I totally missed David Spade.
He was the, you know how there was that robot, like the alley, like the lane behind
yeah,
us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He walked,
through it. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm so glad you saw that.
Because at first I was like, hey, is that David Spade? And I was like, we're in the store. Yeah, yeah, yeah. David Spade.
Oh, my God. Liz the night before was at the improv and we both walked past Kevin Nealon at one point. Wow, we freaked out a little bit. We're like, oh my God, Kevin Nealon.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's actually really fucking cool. So have you gone to any other shows like to observe more than perform, or is it all performing?
That was the first show I went to
observe. To observe. Have you been to any more?
No. Not since then. Yeah.
What's fun here too is that you can catch like secret shows, or like you can get wind of, like people do drop-ins, right? So like you go to a $5 show, but then Dave Chappelle can just randomly show up, sort of things.
Because there's enough observing at the mics where like I see that, and you'll still see like really good people there. So that's where I get my observing in.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can do both at the same time, perform and observe.
Yeah.
Do you go to several mics a night? Do you just try to go to at least one mic a night? What's your plan right now?
It just depends on, like, the bus that day.
Sure.
Yeah, like, just the window. It's like if I want to get somewhere and somebody says, like, hey, be here by 8, it's just like, all right, I can be there anywhere from 7 to 9:30. Sure. Like, that's the window I have.
You're like a cable guy.
Yeah, yeah. So that's rough. I try to get two a night if I can, and then on the weekend, I'll just take one day where I'm just like, all right, let's sit down just and chill. Yeah. And then if I'm too tired one night, I'm not afraid to call it.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Just like I'm like, all right, I'm not going to go up there and do anything worthwhile.
Right, right.
But yeah.
That reminds me of the night that we saw the show at the store. They apparently let their door people just go up and perform, which is something I did not
know. One of the guys killed it.
He was amazing. There was a really good guy. And then everyone else, I just remember the three of us were like, oh no. Like, just, oh.
The door guy's better.
It's amazing how all comfortable they were. Like, you could tell, like, I would be terrified to go up at the store. And they were just like,
they must do it every night. Yeah, it must not matter.
Like, even when, like, two of the guys, you could tell they were bombing. But they were still so
they
comfortable.
Didn't care.
It's like, they didn't care. Like,
they weren't defensive about it. Yeah.
Like, shout out to them, man. Like, they just went up there
did
and
I
gave
tell
it
you? Did I tell you? Do I tell you about the showcase we went to see?
Maybe.
Well, because so it was like, I'd never seen anything like it, but apparently this is pretty common here where, like, they start to, like, they ramp the show up, so like it got to like Whitney Cummings and Anthony Jeselnik, and then it goes back down again. So it's not like there's a headliner at the end. So what we ended up seeing was like those guys, and then like some other guys that were kind of good, and then this guy who was like there on behalf of like a pet charity went up with his pit bull.
Yeah, that one was weird. Like he wasn't a comic; he just had a pit bull with him,
and he was making some like questionably sort of almost racist and homophobic jokes.
But he was an advocate for the pit bull, so I was just like, whatever.
Right, no one could get too mad. And then it literally
well, he loves animals. He loves
pit bull, man.
And then it literally ended with
can't stand minorities, but the animal.
With like five people who worked at the store. They were just like the door guys.
Yeah.
And one guy was really fucking good. And there was another guy who was okay. And then there were like, there was one guy who was straight up awful. And then the guy I remember being where I just kept turning to Liz and just being like, oh my God. All he was doing was an impression. Like he would just do impressions. And one was like, this is a gay guy masturbating. And he just like bent over and started like punching himself in the ass. Like repeatedly. I know. And that was like the whole thing where you're just like, yeesh. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh no.
But like Vishnu.
Classic physical.
I know. Like Vishnu was saying like it wasn't like they knew full ass well that they were bombing their heads off. And they were just like, they
having
were.
Fun. Yeah.
But, weren't like, come on or anything like that. Yeah, they were just kind of like, this is how it's going. Like,
I'll get to that stage too where just like sometimes you just want to look at the audience like fuck you guys, like if it's like a mic and there's like 10 mic or there's 10 comics there and you're giving it your all and they're just staring back at you like you're just like but you never say it but like they didn't do that, like it never got to that point where they're just like man fuck you guys, like,
no,
they just kept going with it and
didn't
it
care
cool.
See, I actually turned into I don't do the defensive fuck you, I do the okay I'm gonna go kill myself. Great.
That's the best one, I think. It's self-deprecating.
Yeah. Is that even like a good kiss? Like, okay, I'm gonna like, thank you. Kill me. Thank you.
I love that. That's
this is the worst. Okay.
Start talking again. I'm just gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna go kill myself now. Thank you, everything.
Thank you for coming.
So, are you out here for the foreseeable, do you think, until you, like, get, you achieve, like, the thing, or?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I like it.
Unless, like, at some point, something, like, comes up in New York.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's work there, and there's an opportunity there, but I think I was interested in film and TV as well.
Okay.
And I think, like, if I was more interested in sketch or late night stuff, maybe I would have drifted more. But if you're, I think if you're interested in TV and stuff, like, this is the place to be.
Yeah. And I remember we talked a little bit about that, because that's the thing I keep hearing here over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly kind of refuted this a little bit. But the thing that I've had a lot of people tell me is that you don't come here if you strictly want to do stand up mm-hmm. because people don't like to travel on a Wednesday night to an hour and a half in traffic to see an open mic. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's you kind of, it's not a stand up comedy city. It's more of like a improv city. It's more of like, or if you do go to see stand up, you're going across town because it's, you know, someone big playing, someone you've never heard of.
Yeah.
So the thing I kept hearing about here is that you really come here if you want to do something of stand up comedy and something else, like write or act or direct or whatever else.
Uh-huh.
So I find it interesting to kind of watch too, like people back home, how they all kind of split either between New York, Chicago, or
LA. Right.
I still don't know exactly like what besides stand up you go to Chicago. I think you go to Chicago.
Improv is really
improv, that's true.
Yeah. It's like one of the origins.
Developed to Chicago.
Yeah,
yeah,
I've heard
a lot of mics, a lot of shows going on. Yeah,
And that was my thing. I think because my thing was never going to be strictly stand up. That's why I headed this direction. Plus, I always say this: the fucking weather. Like, if I'm going to be paying $3,000 a month for an apartment, I'm going to be paying $3,000 a month for an apartment that's near the ocean and it's warm and like not have to deal with.
But fuck your hills, man. Like, seriously. So many hills, just like, we were hungover and we went to a cafe and she's like, let's take this walk. And then we go and it's like, basically it's so steep, there's stairs.
Just sweated it all.
I'm just like, oh my God, we're dying. I'm dying.
In Silver Lake and it's like straight up. But like the thing is, we were coming up behind the steps. I'm like, no, it's downstairs. Like we're going downstairs, not discounting the fact that like, you have to go up to go down.
Except then we found the walk back was all flat. Like we could have just gone around.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know. Sorry, my bad.
I just remember I was just like, holy shit. Like it's hot and I'm hungover. I just ate a breakfast burrito.
Yeah, you're supposed to do the hiking and then eat. Yeah.
I know. I fucked up really bad because not only were we hungover, but, like, she had to carry me home the night before because I was so blackout drunk.
Yeah. That's when you kept looking my face and telling me I tasted like pancakes.
That happened.
You might have still been drunk if you were like, yeah, let's take the hill.
Yeah, I know. I think that might have been what happened.
Do it. And I'm like, God damn.
Sweat this liquor right out of my system. It'll be
after
fine.
After all that, she's like, let's go get a juice or something. And I'm like, oh, now it hits you. It couldn't hit you before we went up this giant fucking hill.
I am also a fan of being out of my comfort zone. Apparently, physical comfort is what
I am apparently not.
Yeah.
Fine.
I mean, does it apply to anything other than, like, mental or emotional state for you? Do you not like being in physical pain? Or can you, like, if you're, like, working out, if you're like, yes, this is what, feel the gains, feel the pain. Yeah.
That comes harder than, like, mental stuff. But, like, yeah, I tried.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Try to push through it?
But it doesn't come, like, the physical stuff as much. Like that whole like you gotta feel the burn,
the burn.
To earn or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like the burn, it burns.
Yeah.
It's because it burns.
That's what I think. That's what people like. People drink Hennessy. Like,
I have friends
that drink Hennessy like out the bottom. Like it burns my chest. Like,
yeah,
it's like oh, but it feels great. It's like no. Just give me like a margarita. Wow. Like I'm cool with you. Looking like a bitch. Just
what's
like...
funny that as recently my friend and I were talking about like sadomasochism and people who like pain and like overall I think I have a pretty high pain tolerance, but I definitely wouldn't say like I would inflict pain purposefully sort of thing. But the thing is I absolutely fucking love spicy food. And I absolutely fucking love sparkling water.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, I never connected it, but it makes perfect sense. People who like sparkling water are like apparently more into like feeling intense
interesting yeah,
feelings
yeah.
You know what I mean, whether it be pain but like right, right. kind of like if you like spicy food you also like spicy water
right, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh shit, I never even thought about
you're one of the few white people I've met that like spicy food.
Oh my god, I love spicy food. Like,
I like spicy food but I like to I don't like to be in pain like
Just
what's the point where you don't enjoy it anymore and you, that's when you
just, you're like in the medium just
there's like a certain point where maybe, you know, everyone has their limit, but when you're just like, you're just putting, you're trying to put your dick on the table about it, you know, you're just like, I can have all this, but like, you're not having a good...
Like the meter, and some people are just like, all right, give me the hot
this
one.
This is what I was going to say. Okay, this is literally what I think of anytime we talk about this is Quaker steak and the fact that they have those fucking atomic wings and now they have like subatomic wings.
So you
want to
go for like...
So here's the thing. So I decided before they did subatomic and they just had regular atomic, I was like, okay, I don't think that I'm like amazing, but I have been in habanero pepper eating contests before. So I think what I can handle is the level just below atomic. Mm. And I forget how the fuck they measure it. I don't know if it's the whole scale, whatever that's called. But like...
Scoville scale.
What is it called?
Scoville scale.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, yeah. So the thing was, let's say like the one, like so let's say atomic was 100. The one that was like the next one down was still only like 65 or something. So I was like, fuck it. I can do 65. Bring me like six goddamn wings. Yeah. I think I had a half a wing. I ordered like seven glasses of lemonade and just like sniffed and cried and couldn't deal with it at all. And the thing that I realized from the whole situation was that like I couldn't even taste the food anymore.
Yeah.
It was like
that's what I'm saying. There's like a point where most people like it's just not a good time.
It's not edible.
Yeah, you're not doing it for the food at that point.
It's not fun anymore.
How long did it stay with you? Like in your system, like how long did it mess
like
with
within
you?
Like 6 hours, I would say it was gone because like I couldn't deal like with the I just couldn't deal with it. I don't know why.
I like Korean spice, like the average like Korean level spice, like the, you know, it's higher than most places, but not like crazy. Whereas that like my best friend's fiance will go to like an Indian restaurant and he'll be like, give me, make it hot. And they'll be like, okay, white guy. And they'll be like...
Going to Indian restaurants with family and just seeing...
What everybody...
Yeah, like a white person come in, they're just like, all right, just give me this. And I want to say something like, no, that's a hot one. Like, don't. But I just let them do it. And you can and you can see them eating it and progressively getting
redder.
Red, but they don't want anybody to know. So they just keep powering through. They don't ask for water. They don't ask for like a mango. They just power through it. Oh, I love it.
That's the thing with my friend's fiance, because he'll... Like, he'll ask for it hot, and they'll be like, you're white, so we're not actually going to make it as hot as we would. But then he just gets disappointed. He's like, I know it can be
hot. This is hot. Like, that's good. That's good at least that he doesn't have the opposite reaction, which is, I'm a stud horse. I can eat all their shit. Yeah. Look how hot this shit is. I can just...
No, like, he's like, yeah, this is like, okay, but like... They could make it hotter. They just don't believe in me.
Because if you make it too hot, you get bad Yelp reviews. So you can't make it too hot.
I think the level... I think my thing is I'm realizing I don't like... It may not be the heat necessarily. What I like is the sensation. Because what I really fucking like is wasabi. And the horseradish.
Yeah,
like both of those things.
It's a quick flare-up burn, and then it goes away. What I hate is the lingering.
That's what I want. When it's a slow burn, that's when I die. But when it's like a woo, like it kicks you in the face for like 5 seconds, and your eyes water,
that's fun.
You like spicy mustard, and then, or like the Chinese mustard.
Yeah.
Like, I will literally just fucking Chinese mustard. Because the other thing is there's no after effects with that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't feel that day.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't...
Exactly.
Just I have
you eat something with a lingering spice when you have, like, chapped lips or something.
Oh, that's the worst.
You guys ever done that? Oh, God.
Touch your eyes.
That's the worst.
Yeah. My worst thing is when you're cutting peppers, it burns your fingers. The burning eventually stops on your fingers, so you forget that you had peppers on your fingers, and then you touch your eyes. That is the worst.
I have a friend who's his name's Brock. He's in the Air Force, and when we go to Buffalo Wild Wings, we'll get we'll just regular. He'll get the sweet barbie, like the honey, like the one at the bottom, sweating.
Oh my god, the That's hilarious.
That's who's protecting our country. Like, he can't he can't handle, like...
Some people can't handle a lot of pepper. Like, round black pepper.
Genetic thing, too, I think. I think there are people who are genetically predispositioned to just not be able to handle mayonnaise. Like, that's too spicy for them. I don't know. Maybe not that extreme, but, like... Man. There are people who are legitimate wusses about spice for sure.
Yeah.
And like my thing is like I've always loved like sensation. You know what I mean? Like I always love like just that kind of stuff in my face. So I can't imagine my life being complete with just being like ranch dressing. Brain freezes? What's fun about those?
I hate those.
I figured out a while back how to stop them.
How?
If you put your tongue on the roof of your mouth or it doesn't work for you?
No.
It doesn't? That sucks.
No, it hurts like a bitch, though.
Tongue on the roof of your mouth if you have a brain freeze.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, tongue in, or the other thing is I breathe through my nose. Like, I breathe out through my nose. Okay. That helps my sinuses, too.
Is this one of those weird things where, like, they tell you, like, these weird tricks to stop sneezing? Or does this work?
It works for me.
Oh, the stuff with, like... Hiccups,
okay. Hiccups, yes,
I've heard so many weird.
Weird ones. So what's weird for me with hiccups is I actually like when I was 12 figured out I combined three of the weird like folksy ones people told me, and it always works, which is to hold my breath, hold my hat upside down, plug my nose. It's actually four. Plug my nose and swallow. And all of those things combined together always work for me.
I've heard the swallow while holding your breath, but you're saying do it upside down.
Mm-hmm.
I read the upside down, like the drink water upside down.
Drink water
with the metal spoon in the glass and like keep make the spoons touching your cheek while you're drinking it.
Oh, shit. That's complicated.
Yeah. My ex, like, he used to drink water. He'd drink the water like through a paper towel. Like, you put a paper towel over the glass and then drink it through that, and he's like, it works every time.
I feel like then you're just digesting a lot of, like, paper towel lint. It's going to taste gross.
Water over paper towel.
Goddamn pokey solutions to things. So you're not really in, you, like, but it sounds like overall, like, from an emotional, mental perspective, you really like being pushed, like, you enjoy doing. Do you, like, what do you think, I mean, do you ever foresee that happening here? Like, do you just always feel like you're going to be, you have an infinite source of being pushed, like, out there?
Yeah.
I love
that's
that.
That's what I foresee, which is why I picked this,
Well, and what I like, too, is with the fact that your ambitions are sort of varied, like, if, say, you do fucking dethrone Chappelle or whoever someday, you have other shit that you can sort of pursue in that same
but I know that'll never happen.
No, so okay, that's good. That's good. Aim high.
That's the goat, yeah.
You just to aim as high as you possibly can.
My dad used to, maybe that's what, my dad always used to say, even as a kid, like since I was a, he'd say, aim for the moon and if you miss,
you've reached the stars,
And it's so corny. We saw it at like a museum or something, but like, literally every week, he'd just be walking through the house, be like, "Hey, son, aim for the moon." Just like,
even if you miss,
so maybe So maybe it's what stuck with me.
You reach the star.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost the opposite of having like extremely low expectations, though. You know what I mean? Yeah, because like, if you aim really, 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 like you aim up here, and you fall, you still hit here.
Yeah. But there's also like this sense of like you have to be aware of what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was like 18, like. When I was, like, six or... I remember we used to write these letters to ourselves, like, in your future. I was, like, 18, and I got a letter for myself when I was 8. And he was, like, 8-year-old with me was very confident I'd be NBA eligible. Like, I'd be able to play in the NBA.
That's awesome.
And then at 17, like, there were still kids that were just, like, yeah, I'm going to play in the NBA. But realistically, like, the chances for them were very, very low.
Yeah.
I have a few friends that, like, they said, I'm going to be in the NBA, and they... very well could have gotten there, like I could see that.
Yeah,
but there's people that never played basketball that were still saying like, I'm gonna be in the NBA.
Yeah.
But for me, it's having that self-awareness at 18 where I was just like, yeah, I'm never gonna be in the NBA. Like, yeah. I understand that.
The thing is with NBA though, there's a very narrow window in which you can like make that happen. So I think too, like the fact that you may not necessarily become Chappelle is still more likely that you could become Chappelle than, like, Michael Jordan. So, like,
oh,
you know,
1,000%.
You look at that,
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah,
that's a great way to look at it. There's a much better chance of you being Chappelle than Michael Jordan.
You become a good comedian at any age. You know, like, even if your knees go, you're fine. Like, you can still make it work.
Richard Pryor was still pushing around his wheelchair, and he was getting there up there. Go. It's all fine. It's like a weird bastardized version of, like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Like, you know, like, you can become 100 Dave Chappelles before you can become one Michael Jordan. So there's that. It's funny because we were just talking about that whole, like, Kelly Thulis was talking about how she wrote, like, they made them, like, what do you think you're going to be when you're 18 sort of thing? And she was like, comedian. And they were like, you got to pick.
Really?
And she was like, you got to pick a more realistic one. So she was like, Emperor of Switzerland. And she like.
Yeah, she's going to take over Switzerland.
Take over Switzerland. I'm going to invade Switzerland and I'm going to take it. And that's if I don't become the comedian, that's the thing I'm going to fall back on. And I love
hearing about comedians that were like at a young age, they knew they wanted to be comedians, like, because the difference for me was, like, from a young age, I loved comedy, but for me, it never seemed like, oh, yeah, this is something you can
do.
You can do this. Yeah. Like, it's not, like, it's accessible to even people starting at the bottom. It's not just, like, these people aren't just, this isn't their first time going out there. They've been doing this for a while. Yeah. It's something you can get good at.
Exactly.
So, it's for those people that are young and they're like, I want to be a comedian, and they end up being, like, a really big comedian, like, that's crazy. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And, like, I think that is it's the cliche dream thing, is that, like, I get discouraged out here sometimes because you just see, like, people with so much money and they're so well-connected, and then you're like, well, that's how they got to where they are, because then, you know. But then you meet people and you hear about people who were, like, literally started from the bottom, then they actually got to, like, the place. And that was the thing I think I loved most about Obama, was that he was, like, the first president I ever knew that legitimately started from the bottom.
You
can
see,
like,
the roots.
That I absolutely loved about him. So, this was super fun. Thank you for coming over
and
doing
this.
It's hopefully this will be the first episode where I had someone here and I don't fucking delete it like an idiot. Because that's what apparently...
Save it now.
There's some weird curse where, like, if I have people in my house, I delete the podcast episodes. Although my brother was here, and we had him on, and that worked out.
See, you've already had a successful run.
Successful one. Hey, this is probably going to air in the next couple of weeks. Do you have anything coming up in, like, 3, 4, or 5 weeks you want to promote for people in LA who are listening? Because there are a few. Or even at home, if you're going home and doing shows in Cleveland or anything.
Nope,
no shows. Don't check him out.
Follow me on Instagram.
Follow him on Instagram. What's your handle?
Twitter, just Vishnu Akella. Just type in my name.
Just type in Vishnu
Akella. If you can spell it, you earned it.
Yeah, you'll find it. Exactly. Yeah, you'll figure
it. It'll be in our episode description in case you're not feeling
happy. Still mess it up, but...
Really? It seems so phonetic.
I had the plumber the other day. She texted me.
Mm-hmm.
The plumber texted me this. Said, she spelled my name Bishnon.
Bishnon.
Yeah, she was like, Bishnon, are you going to be home? And I was like, it's Vishnu, but yeah, you know, I'll be home. And then 5 minutes later, she goes, hey, I've never heard your name before. Where are you from? I was like, oh, here we go. I just typed in Michigan.
Oh, God.
No.
I know where you're going with this.
That's the best. Yeah. Although if she showed up and she was Indian, you would have felt bad. She would have been
felt horrible. Yeah. That's a good point. She could have just been trying to find
out. Her family could have been, you know.
My brain went towards... female plumber, and I was like, oh yeah, like, this is about to go down.
I was gonna say, female plumber.
I've seen a porn start this way, it can happen.
I've seen this happen.
Seen this movie before. I've seen this fucking new porn video.
My apartment spelled my last name wrong, it's on my mailbox.
This is a tricky one.
It's just there forever.
Yeah,
it's Semen. I'm like, does that mean I can wiggle out of my lease whenever I want?
Technically not your name.
Don't respect me. You're spelling it like the fluid from the penis.
Oh. No, there's definitely a legal loophole there. Yeah.
Our Lizzie Jizzy. Looks like my cat's trying to kill you. No, she's not going to kill you. She just might try to give you a bath, which will be super awkward.
What does that look like?
She's going to, like, lick your head, yeah. Oh, she oinks too. And she looks like Wilford Brimley. She doesn't want you to get diabetes. Do you remember Wilford Brimley? Did I make a reference?
I have no clue.
I was like, oh my God, I made a reference.
I was just going to nod through that.
There's a child in the house. This has been another edition of Jess.
Show them a YouTube video after we get off. Just show them a commercial.
Yeah, I'll show them the Wilford Brimley commercial. So Vishnu Akella on Twitter, Instagram, both of those. Okay, and then Liz, do you have anything you want to promote?
I don't know. There's Instagram. I should start posting the weird. I keep hearing, like, overhearing weird bar conversations.
Yes! I told her today she needs to make a coffee table book.
You were just, that would be really good, yeah.
Yeah, she...
I keep hearing this dumbest shit, and I immediately take out my phone, and I'm like, all right, all right.
You can do it in, like, poetry script, so it looks like it'd be beautiful.
Calligraphy. That's what I keep calling it. I like, a poem, quoth two dudes that, like...
I know, that's how she starts them all, every time it's like, a poem, quoth, and then it's somebody in a bar.
Like, angry lady in a bar.
And it's almost like a haiku, like it's not technically a haiku, because it doesn't, like, if there's not the...
They go for, like, the snippets.
Yeah, but there's definitely, like, no rhyme to it, and it's just very, like, poetic, and I love it, and it's amazing. And I think, you know what you need to do? So there's a Twitter, Instagram, and probably Facebook for, like, major cities, and they're called, like, Overheard. So there's, like, LA and Overheard New York.
Yeah, I've heard
of that. I don't think there's a Cleveland one. You should do the Cleveland one.
Yeah, that'd be Overheard in a bar, though. Just
And they're everywhere. Like, so like, it's like, it's the best part too is, like, they'll show the conversation and then it'll be like at, like, Equinox spin place, and it's like the weirdest conversation.
Yeah. I had that guy he was on a podcast that I listened to or something. The guy who started the Overheard thing. And he was like, it's so weird because, like, every once in a while people, like, see their own conversation on there. And they're like, oh. Or he's like, one time I saw mine. Like, as someone put in my face, I was talking.
the only beef I have with it is occasionally I'll read it and I'll be like, no one said that. Yeah. Someone wrote that and was like, this is something I overheard. I always like it anyway because I think, like, it's funny writing. Like, no one had a conversation like this. Mm-hmm. There's a really good Facebook.
Are they conversations that would make sense at other places? Like, is it just weird because they had
these conversations? No, they're just weird conversations. Okay. Yeah, like, I mean, sometimes, it's location-based. But I think for the most part, it's just, like, really funny conversations, like, between friends where it's, like, I can't think of one now because I'm high, but, like, they have...
Maybe that'll be the reason I should get a Twitter.
You should. Well, don't do it on Twitter. Do Instagram because you can just write it down and then make a screenshot of, like, what you...
I thought that they, like, got pissed off, like...
Just take a picture of them.
Picture of those people. Add that much more context.
Tag them in.
The lady from today, I'm pretty sure she's been in prison and might be going back.
Yeah, you don't want to be identified by her.
Never mind.
Yeah. No, it's best this remains anonymous for all parties involved. I want to thank you for coming on our show today again.
Thanks for having me.
I probably said that already 400 times. These are going to be edited episodes. I want to thank OK Pants for doing our logo and Above Below Entertainment for being on our network. Hey, K-Love you, bye.